Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I am your host, Tony Zipteris, and yes, I am recording this on Thanksgiving morning, so shout out to me for being a great podcaster. But in all seriousness, I wanted to record a podcast this morning because the Kings had what was probably their biggest game of the season last night in Sacramento. The Kings defeated the Los Angeles Lakers. The first meeting between De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball, it was on ESPN, national stage. A lot of hype behind it because of the Ball versus Fox rivalry. Now, we didn't see De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball really do much of anything in the game last night, but it was a great Kings win. Like Dave Yeager said, their most complete game from start to finish all season. They've been playing better basketball in general. I think they're 4-5 in their last nine. Since Dave Yeager changed the starting lineup 4 games ago, they're 2-2. And there's just a lot more positivity around the Sacramento Kings as a whole right now, which is exactly what will happen when the team starts playing better basketball. It was a really, really brutal start to the NBA season for the Kings, but it appears as though maybe they're turning things around, maybe. And I wanted to get a podcast up on Thanksgiving, so if anybody was traveling anywhere today, this morning, tonight, to go have turkey somewhere, that have a Kings podcast to listen to, or if they're waiting in line on Black Friday for some deal, or, you know, there's a lot of downtime over the long weekend. If anybody wanted a Sacramento Kings podcast, I wanted to provide that for them. So on this Thanksgiving morning, I'm very thankful for Jill Adge for saying yes to jumping on the podcast with me. We will get into that as soon as John Tesh gives us a Thanksgiving rendition of Round Ball Rock. Joining me on the Sacktown Royalty Show this week, this morning, Thanksgiving morning, our friend Jill Adge. Jill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Last night was fun. We are recording on Thanksgiving. This isn't one of those podcasts that will drop on Thanksgiving and pretend like they're recording on the holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We actually are recording on Thanksgiving morning, so everyone should thank Jill for jumping on the podcast with me. You were at the game last night, correct?
I actually was not.
Oh, you weren't? Why did I think you were?
I was not.
That's a bad one to miss.
No, it's one I did not end up going to.
I know.
Too much Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But you did watch the game. I know that.
I did.
So what'd you think?
It was interesting, I have to say, for all the hype. I know we were expecting a lot of Lonzo and Fox, and it kind of ended up being the Mason, Bogey, Willie, Kuzma show, which I guess, based on games this year, not totally that surprising, based on how those guys are playing. But it's definitely exciting, I have to say, for years to come that, I mean, we, at least here in Sacramento, still very much have that Sacramento versus, you know, LA rivalry. So it's nice to see. I know Fox made some comments after the game saying that he's new here, he knows the history, but he already feels like he's part of something for years to come when it comes to that kind of rivalry. So that's exciting, at least for as a fan, for me to hear. He played 15 minutes less than Lonzo, and his numbers weren't, you know, points-wise, he was ahead of Lonzo on that. But the rest of them, being 15 minutes less, he wasn't far off. So, I mean, it was rough at the beginning for him with the shots falling short, but I like the confidence he went right back at it and kept shooting, you know, and then eventually ended up going in and started driving a little bit more, which is good to see for a guy who isn't shooting well. He took the initiative, you know, to get the ball to the basket, whether it's to, you know, an easy layup, a dunk, or to get to the free throw line and see the ball go in the basket, you know, and then help you along that way. So, Lonzo's shot is just as weird as ever.
Not
which
good.
Is totally weird to me. I think that he has enough talent that where if he adjusted the shot, he would be perfectly fine. I don't think it's too late to change a shot. That might just be me, but I'd personally rather see him try and adjust it, and because it's just not working right now.
Yeah, last night was the first time I actually sat down and watched him play and focused on the game for 48 minutes. I mean, I've seen clips here and there throughout the season. I've watched bits and pieces of Lakers games, but last night was the first time I really sat down and watched a Lonzo Ball NBA game. What I like about Lonzo, and he's actually getting knocked for this sometimes because, you know, people take it as like he's afraid to dribble, but he moves the ball so quick as soon as he gets it. Like, he's always I kind of like that. It was like a interesting, different kind of basketball game to watch with him on the court, because you don't see players like that who are, you know, the primary ball handler, but he's also just so quick to just these one-touch passes, doesn't even make a move. The ball gets swung to him, he swings it to somebody else. And I like that. I think that's a positive. He's very unselfish. The shot is ugly, like everybody said, but I don't think Lonzo had, like, a bad game or anything. And like you were saying, the whole, like, Lonzo versus Fox thing that we all were hoping was going to be this great, you know, one-on-one battle, never really materialized. But the Kings got a win. They're probably their best win of the year. Jaeger said after the game he thought it was the most complete game they've played. And I would agree with that because they, you know, the Lakers are a better team than them right now. You could say the talent level is close, but the Lakers have a much better record. And the Kings, I don't want to say they dominated that game, but they had a lead at the beginning and they pretty much held it throughout. And every time the Lakers were trying to go on a run, they kept like pushing the run back down. It was a good win. And against the Lakers the night before Thanksgiving, you can't ask for anything more than that, I don't think.
Right? That's my thing. And I know, you know, I was seeing it all over Twitter too, because we're like, oh my God, here comes the third quarter. Oh my God, here comes the fourth quarter. Because, you know, we have PTSD when it comes to Kings third and fourth quarters when we have a lead. So it was nice to see that even when LA did chip it down a little bit, we had guys that stepped up that, you know, that kept it going. I thought that was good to see. And other guys stepped up. I mean, like Frank, these last, what, four games? I mean, we all knew, or at least most of it, most of us, you know, how consistent he is. And just experience-wise of playing, you know, as far as he did in college, to me makes it, you know, him look that much more ready in the transition. And that's probably helped him and Jackson both, because they both have come in and looked comfortable. They don't try and force something outside of their game. They play within themselves, and they just come in and make the team better. It's nice to see for these young guys.
I was this morning I was looking up some numbers because I was curious how the Kings were performing since Dave Jaeger changed the rotation. I think it was four games ago now. He moved De'Aaron Fox and Scala Bissier into the starting lineup, moved Willie Cauley-Stein and Bogdanović back down to the bench. And it was interesting, Frank Mason, this is not just the last four games, but for the entire year with Frank Mason,
he's the only King, excluding guys like Papagiannis or Cooley or Sampson, who have only played like 10, 15 minutes throughout the entire year. Mason is the only King who's played a decent amount of minutes with a positive net rating.
And while that surprised me, he did lead the Kings in scoring during the preseason. So if anything, he's just doing what he's been doing since he got here, which is playing really well, way better than you would expect for a second round pick. So yeah, you gotta like what Frank Mason is doing right now. And I know some people were saying and have been saying that at some point Frank Mason and De'Aaron Fox are gonna push George Hill further down on either
you're
the rotation,
seeing it.
Or the minutes. I mean, the Kings played really well last night, and George Hill, I think he had 0 points. I don't think he did really anything.
I think it was kind of donuts around. Yeah. There were times you literally forgot he was on the court. He wasn't there. He was non-existent.
I know this is a weird math equation to do, but if the sacrifice is George Hill isn't producing, but De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason are able to carry the Kings to a win, I mean, I guess
exactly.
I'll take that.
And get the shot to close it out. Mm-hmm. Like, once again, I don't know what would have happened down crunch time. I would have hoped that he wouldn't have put Hill back in, and the other two would have got the shot, because I know that's happened in some other games where I did appreciate that he let Fox or Mason finish if they were having a better game than Hill was. So, it's going to be interesting as the year progresses on what's happening, because those two guys, I mean, are already playing them right now. So it'll be interesting to see what Vlade and the rest of the guys feel going forward with that.
I don't think we spoke since the Kings did make those rotation changes. How do you like how the Kings have looked, you know, over the last four or five games compared to
how terrible it was at the beginning of the season.
I like it, at least, especially from the bench perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, Willie's one of the few guys where he's, like, openly stated he prefers coming off the bench, and he likes playing with Costa. And the one thing I love about Mason and Bogey is they're playmakers, they're shooters, they can play off each other, they find the big guys at the basket. I mean, they're setting them up, so this bench rotation, to me, I'm perfectly fine if it stays this way for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. if these guys are still here. You know, if no other huge roster changes occur. I'm perfectly fine with the way those guys are playing. They look like they have good chemistry. They're all smiling out there. They look like they're having fun. You have a bunch of shooters, which is nice, you know, when you put Buddy even with them together. And so, and then starting-wise, I'm happy that Scal's getting more minutes that way.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And then I do like the combination of Hill and Fox. They look for each other. But yeah, the playmaking's there. I do like the changes, I have to say.
Yeah, the one thing with moving George Hill off the ball that I really like is that, you know, George Hill has struggled all season. He's really not giving the Kings a lot in terms of scoring or playmaking. So at least if you move him off the ball, you're getting a playmaker in the starting lineup in De'Aaron Fox. Even though Fox, like I said, I was looking at the numbers this morning. Fox hasn't really played great since they moved him into the starting unit, but he is giving the offense a little bit more creativity and getting the Kings some quicker transition opportunities so they aren't falling behind early. In the last four games anyways, the starting lineup has, for the most part, kept the games closed for, like you said, the bench unit who's been playing tremendous. They're not coming into like a 10-point deficit. They're coming into maybe a 5-point deficit or close to a tie game, which you'll take.
Right.
And it's only been four games, but I like that Jaeger is sticking with guys like Labissiere and Fox who, while they might not be producing in this new role, he's giving them a chance to get there. He's not yanking them quite yet. Which he did do with, like, Justin Jackson started only for a few games, or he will yank the young guys around a little bit more than the vets, and he hasn't done it yet, and I can appreciate that.
And he's still leading the team in minutes.
Yep.
I hadn't realized that either at 26.4, but I'd still like to see him get up a little bit higher, but I did think that was interesting that it was nice to see that Fox was still leading the team in minutes, so whether he's coming off the bench or starting.
The thing with Willie, you mentioned how Willie Cauley-Stein talked about how he's more comfortable coming off the bench. I wonder how much, because that's kind of a contradiction to the other things Willie says, because Willie wants to be Kristaps Porzingis, and he wants to be like the greatest offensive player of all time. And that's hard to do, or very uncommon to do, if you also enjoy coming in off the bench. So I wonder how much of that is Willie actually enjoying coming in off the bench, or Willie preferring the players he's playing with on the bench unit the players he was playing when he's a starter. Because you're seeing him...
Yep, I think it's still later.
You're seeing him on the bench create this really excellent chemistry with someone like Bogdanović, who, you know, last game against the Lakers, what was it, like two or three oops, and Bogdanović was finding him a lot. And you saw Willie play the best basketball of his career when he was playing with a real, legitimate pick-and-roll playmaker, whether it was Ty Lawson or Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
And we were seeing this in the preseason that, like, hey, Bogdanović might be the best passer on the team. And he's playing all of his minutes with Willie, and Willie's production is up, and Bogdanović's production is up. So you got to like what those two are doing together.
Definitely. And one thing I did like is we've often seen a lot when guys are hot, they go away from them for whatever reason. It was nice to see Bogey realize they're still giving this to me. I'm going to keep going to it until, you know, it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. I loved seeing that. I mean, he just kept going back to it. And you don't see that very often. So I appreciated his IQ as a player. I'm going to keep taking it as long as they're going to keep giving it to me. So it was nice to see.
And he was defending Brandon Ingram pretty well, too, for a guy that's, you know, undersized for the three. But he was defending one of the Lakers' bigger athletic forwards. It's just, if you're looking for positive signs for all of this, for development, last night was a great, great positive sign for so many guys.
Yeah, he's scrappy on defense. It's nice to see. I wasn't expecting it. So,
me neither.
I mean, from what he's shown, you know, what he can do defensively at times, especially against bigger guys, is a huge positive. Same with even Rennie. He ran the point a little bit yesterday with Mason. And so Frank was coming off the ball. And so that was even nice to see. He handled that really well. So, I mean, yeah, his growth in the different positions, it's really nice to see just in this short period of time.
Full disclosure, I fell asleep at the end of the third quarter and had to watch the fourth quarter this morning because last night was had to work till 10, and then I started watching the game and I just fell asleep. So I didn't catch that immediately, but you made me realize that Jaeger has actually, in Jaeger's new rotation, he's giving both units two really good ball handlers and playmakers. You know, he's got Fox and Hill in the starting lineup, and now Mason and Bogey can play, make, and create for the bench unit, which is something we didn't have at the beginning of the season because Mason was pretty much out of the rotation.
Right, and it was nice to see, too. He was yelling at him to hurry up and get down the floor. He was trying to push the pace, which I thought was good to see, at least with the bench. He was really yelling at him, go, 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 you know, keep going. So, and which they seem to play better when they play at a faster pace, so it was nice to see him at least acknowledging that and yelling at the young guys to get down the floor.
The other thing with Bogey that I liked, and De'Aaron Fox has said this publicly, that like Bogdanovich is almost like a leader to him, even though they're both rookies. And there was one point, I don't know what broadcast you watched last night, if you watched ESPN or if there was a local Kings broadcast, but at one point, De'Aaron Fox had missed a shot or something, and there was like a break in the action, and you could see Bogdanovich pumping him up at half court. He was like slapping him on the head, like telling him, like you could kind of almost read his lips, was telling him like keep shooting it, that's a good shot, like keep playing your game, that sort of thing. I mean, that's kind of speaks for itself and how great it is to see, because sometimes it takes like the European players or just the international players a while to find where they fit in with a team, both on the court and off the court. And to see a guy like Bogdanovich, who's a rookie, you know, first time playing in the NBA in the States, and being comfortable enough to kind of take a leadership role on at, you know, this early in his career, is another little positive and another reason why I'm pretty confident that Bogdanovich is going to turn himself into a pretty good NBA player, because he has so many of these qualities that are not common for a player in his situation. And that was a nice, just another nice little good thing to see last night.
Yeah, even Buddy has mentioned that a lot too, that, you know, even though they're playing the same position, you know, you never know how guys are going to react, but he says he's one of his biggest supporters. They'll sit together on the airplane. I mean, and he just talks them through stuff that he sees from his perspective. And it was just, it's really nice to see that he seems to get along with everybody. You know, that they're all willing to help each other out. You know, they're on the same team. It's nice, whether you're fighting for positions or not. It's good to see that they all seem to have that chemistry and, you know, are really pulling for each other.
Yeah, the chemistry is something you can't say has been bad this year. Even when things were not going well for them on the court, and like Jaeger was sort of calling the team out for their effort a little bit, and Garrett Temple was kind of talking about how he doesn't know, like, we got to fix our energy, that sort of thing. It doesn't seem like the chemistry ever suffered when the Kings are at their worst, and that's, I don't know, that's good to see from the makeup of a team.
Whether it's a lack of egos or what, I don't know, or just the young guys being young. I mean, it went back to what Jaeger was saying at the beginning of the year. You know, they'd lose, and these guys, these young guys would come in with smiles on their face, like, all right, let's get them the next time.
Yeah, it's a good attitude.
Let's go back to it.
Moving on to something a little bit, well, I would say negative, but maybe it's not necessarily a negative. And I don't want to be too, I don't want to bash Willie Cauley-Stein, because he's been playing really well. He was probably the best King last night, but he had some very interesting comments after the game. I know you saw them. I'll kind of paraphrase here. But he was, it was in his post-game presser. I forget exactly who the reporter was. It might have been Jason Jones.
It was Sean.
And Willie was talking about, well, first of all, Willie acknowledged, which I thought was interesting, that everybody wants to see him be more aggressive at the rim, both on the glass and on defense. And he said, Willie actually said, everybody's telling me, which would kind of lend, like, which kind of tells you that the coaches have been telling him this too. Like, hey, Willie, we need more from you at the rim. It's not just, you know, if everyone's telling him that, I would imagine the coaches and the Kings organization are included in that, everyone. So I thought that was a little interesting part. But then he revealed something that we never knew before, or at least I certainly didn't, that he's going through a mental issue here, and you can correct me if I'm not explaining it the best, but where he's injured his hand so many times, either going for block shots or defending at the rim. I think he mentioned that he had like 36 stitches at one point. He's broken fingers, dislocated knuckles and everything. And to the point where his right hand to this day is still weaker from all the hand injuries he suffered defending the rim. And that's kind of why he's not as aggressive at the rim as people want him to be. So
he actually made the comment as well that I will see a ball coming down and say, nope, like that's it's not going to happen.
What do you make of that? Like,
I mean, I understand it at one point, but it also kind of blows my mind in another. Like when you made that one, like, oh yeah, I'll see it. And no, like I know it's not going to, I know I'm not going to go up for it.
Yeah,
and
weird.
That's what we've been saying on a nightly basis. Why are you not jumping up for that ball?
Right. It does look like he kind of does make that decision. That nope. Right. You can see the nope on the court.
We have the explanation, but it's still, I mean, I just hope mentally that somehow he can get past that. But I mean, I would say it's similar to other people with injuries, you know, with knees and ankles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they always say until you start, you know, really going out, you're not going to know, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, but at this point, I don't know. I want him to just play. You know, you don't want that mental piece there. I don't know how he even gets around that.
Yeah, he does a lot of thinking. He does too much thinking. I wonder when that changed for him, because I don't remember him getting 36 stitches in his hand as a Sacramento King, unless I'm misremembering there.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's had stitches at times, but I never...
Yeah, not that
many. I
don't
remember ever 30-something, right.
So maybe he was just... that was like an accumulation, like all like throughout his career he's had 36 or something, and not just all at once. Because I remember watching him at Kentucky. I don't watch a ton of college basketball, but after the Kings drafted DeMarcus Cousins, I started to get into Kentucky a little bit. So I'd watch Willie Cauley-Stein play, and at least at the college level, he was way more aggressive on defense and blocking shots and playing at the rim than he has been over the last 3 or 4 years. So I want to say whatever this trauma is happened to him over the last two or 3 years or while he's been in Sacramento, but I don't remember it happening unless it's just been little things here and there and not this one event where he tore up his hand.
I'm thinking it is an accumulation, my best guess, similar to what you're saying. But that's the thing, until he starts not having that nope, I'm not going to jump mindset, it's never going to change. So until he just starts going up for him and doesn't care, you know, I guess the possibility of getting hurt again, I don't see how that ever changes that mindset.
He did mention, Willie mentioned, I wish I knew who reported it so I don't just say it like I'm making it up, but before the season started, he had mentioned that he was working with some sort of a sports psychologist, or maybe that wasn't the exact kind of person he's working with, but he's working with somebody on the mental aspects of playing in the NBA. And at the time, I thought, oh, this is a great thing, because if you watch Willie Cauley-Stein play, you can clearly tell that there was something, some mental block with him, because he wasn't doing things every night.
Mm-hmm.
And after last night, now we know sort of what he needs to work on from that standpoint, without actually saying to Sean that he was working on it. Like, the way he said it was sort of in a, this is kind of who I am, so what are you guys going to do? Like, this is it. This is what we're dealing with. So very bizarre. I mean, I guess I'm glad we have that information, but I watched the clip of him talking about it, and I was like, well, this is interesting. I don't know what to do with this information, but it's very interesting.
Yeah. We got the, well, now we know why, but now what happens going forward?
Yeah, like, is that it? So is that where the conversation ends? This is just the Willie Cauley-Stein that we have here now.
I don't know if he's so focused on his offensive part of the game and not as much on his defense now. I just feel like we get so many clips of him talking offense and very little of him talking defense. But, I mean, once again, I have no idea. I'm just going based on, you know, little clips here and there after a game. But it seems to me a lot of the talk that he talks now is his offensive play and not very much what he's doing defensively, which is totally opposite of what at least we all thought we were drafting him for. So, and I mean, I'm all there for the progression of him offensively, as long as, I guess you could say, it stays within what the team's trying to do. But I do think that it is interesting that so much of his focus is on offense and not defense.
In fairness to Willie, this is also why I really, really like him. It's like his mm-hmm. honesty, how candid he is, how he doesn't really have a filter, but unlike someone like DeMarcus Cousins, who also doesn't have a filter, Willie Cauley-Stein sort of, I don't know, presents his arguments a little bit better than Boogie did, where Boogie would, you know, storm off, like yell something and storm off. Willie Cauley-Stein sits there and he thinks about what he's going to say, and he says it, and it's very honest, it's very candid. He's a different dude, mm-hmm. and that's why I liked him. So mm-hmm. The Cauley-Stein thing, it fascinates me more than any Kings player in a really long time, because,
right.
you know, his comments last night were interesting, a little strange. They kind of make me scared, but he had an awesome game. So if he plays like that, I don't really care what he says.
Keep playing like that, I could care yeah. less, right?
And it's not as if the hand injuries is crippling him all the time, because, like, there's the Philly game right. down the stretch. He was defending Embiid at the rim. He blocked a shot. Last night he had some awesome defensive plays at the rim. So it's not something that's affecting him all the time. So I guess that gives you hope that he can get over it, as bizarre as getting over that is. I'm not, yeah. you know, he clearly can do it. So
right.
I don't know how you
He made it sound like it was like when he's just that close to the rim.
Yeah, like right under.
He's afraid his hand's going to hit the rim or get caught or get under. I mean, yeah, it just made it seem like it was, at least to me, at the rim scenarios. But, yeah, I mean, his defensive, you know, play, I mean, he's made some huge plays these last couple of games. I mean, it's when he's on, he's on.
Yeah, and on both ends, yeah.
It's really nice to see.
And so
you can see those flashes, and you're just like, oh, man, can you do this, please, all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, as a fan, obviously that's what you want, but...
It's starting to happen yeah. a little bit more frequent. He's, you know, he's putting together some decent games in a row. So hopefully he keeps it up. But that's the guy I'm watching all year, closer than anybody, is what he does from night to night. I have no idea what to expect going to these games.
Right.
But the effort last night was awesome. The game, he's been having excellent games off the bench. So I just hope he can keep that up.
Agree.
All right, we're going to close out the show here soon, but I wanted to get into some very cheesy, typical, like, what are you thankful for, Thanksgiving-themed anything. So, Jill, do you have a King's thought, any thankful for this or that or anything of that sort?
Just all around. Like, I know, obviously, we knew this was going to be a tough year, or at least some of us thought that, you know, with growing pains and things like that. I'm just thankful that... we seem to have a bunch of guys that want to be here that are having fun playing with each other. And it's nice to see, obviously we haven't been able to see Giles yet, but at least from the other three rookies that we've seen, they've all had huge games, at least one. And I'm really thankful at least we're seeing what we thought, you know, we could be getting out of those guys. So just going forward, super thankful for the team and all the fans, all the awesome fans, that kind of cheesy stuff.
All right, I'm going to get sentimental here for a minute, because I really just asked you this question so that I could say what I'm about to say. I am thankful for both Sactown Royalty and, you know, the Kings online community, whether it's kingsfans.com or all the other websites that host Kings discussion. For a very long time, I'm over here in Massachusetts watching the Kings without anybody to talk about the games with, the team with. Before, like, the internet exploded and there was Kings fans everywhere and the world got smaller, I was just watching the games, not talking to anybody about it. Then
you were watching bad games, talking to anybody.
Yeah, that's it was like bad. The John Salmons, Brad Miller era where there's, like, no man's land. Kevin Martin, who I liked, but still, that team was just treading water and had no one to complain about it to. And now, thanks to Kings fans on Twitter and Sactown Royalty, I get to do a show once a week when I'm being diligent, or once every 2 weeks most of the time. Talk to people like Jill and other Kings fans using my words. 10 years, I'd never had one Kings conversation because nobody wanted to talk to me about it. Now I get to do it whenever I want. So I'm thankful that there are so many Kings fans out there, that it's such a solid fan base. It could be, you know, I could have fallen for any random NBA team, and I'm very thankful and lucky that this is the team I latched onto, the group of fans and people that I got to meet through it, you know, going out to Sacramento last year for the home opener. Just very, very cool experiences for me. And every day when I get to wake up and check Twitter and have, you know, people to talk to and new reports to that interest me and stats to dive into, I'm just very thankful that this is how my basketball life worked out, that I'm here watching the Kings every night. It's not easy. The games are on late. Like last night, I fell asleep. But I wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you to everybody.
All right. I like your answer. I'll go with that one as well. That was good.
Okay. All right, Jill. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks again for joining the
show
this week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. Cheers only whisper.